We know the crops have suffered and your lawn probably doesn't look very good, but we may be overlooking some of the damage this drought is doing. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. The hot, dry weather we've experienced this summer may be affecting your home. Some foundations have settled, and conditions may be too much for your siding, roof, deck, or sidewalk. Today, we'll talk about the damage this kind of weather can do, signs to look for, and how to fix problems that arise. Bill will also answer your questions about your home improvement projects. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. The drought this year is the worst we've seen in 60 years, and Iowa houses are feeling it as well. The dry conditions have caused the ground around some homes to actually pull away from their foundations. The Des Moines Register published an article about it last Friday showing how this has led to widening cracks in walls, sticking windows and doors, nails popping out. Cost for fixing a foundation can be $5,000 to $7,000. Our home improvement expert Bill McAnally is here today to talk about foundation damage and some of the other trouble that can be caused by this drought. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for coming back. So what is happening? Why would foundations be suffering because of the dry weather?
Well, most of it is because, you know, we've had this long dry period, and we had those years where the ground was really saturated. And with our soils, we do have a lot of clays. We've got a lot of silts. We've got rock. We've got such a variation in Iowa that some of the soils will expand when we get a lot of water. And then as they dry, especially the clays, they'll dry and they kind of curl and they shrink down, and the house tends to move around. I really haven't seen a whole lot of it yet. I mean, I haven't. I know there was an article in the Register, and we've heard some other, you know, people talking about it too. A lot of houses, though, they really don't have any issues. If, you know, one thing in the Des Moines Register that was a good statement is it was at the very end that a lot of builders or homeowners or contractors didn't do what they said was expensive tests to see if the soil, what kind of soil it was, so that you knew what type of footing and what type of foundation would fit that particular area. You know, when you look at the whole scheme of, say, a $175,000 to $400,000 house, you know, spending $1,000 or so on $500 to $1,000, depends who you have, on soil tests is a pretty inexpensive insurance policy to know exactly what kind of design you should have.
So do you think we're seeing these foundation problems in newer construction?
No, not so much. You know, a lot of it is, I probably think the newer you probably see less, because a lot of the newer ones, they've gotten away from block foundations, and of course they don't have stone. But the block foundations tend to kind of bridge some of these maybe pocket areas that are settling, and they don't really show it as much. Where it really tends to show up is when we would put an addition on. And let's say we have an old house, and it's gone through these, whether, you know, here we are in this moment, yeah, this is a record drought and all that. Well, these older houses have gone through things similar to this. And so they've pretty much done all their settling, and then we decide to throw an addition on. And we don't do our homework enough to tie that addition into that existing home. And when you put an addition on, okay, now you're disturbing the soil. And if you, say, use maybe a loose type of a fill around the foundation that hasn't been compacted and it's just dumped in, you know, a lot of builders call it pit run. It's sand with a little bit of clay, and it's cheap. They just back it in, and sometimes they'll just pack the top couple inches. Well, that's not going to help anything. And then that whole addition then will settle when, you know, we have weather conditions like this. And then it tends to pull away from the house. And sometimes what it'll do is kind of cause a little bit of leverage. It might be attached real well at maybe the top, where the top of the addition meets the top of the old foundation. And it kind of acts like a lever, and it'll just push that foundation wall in and just yeah. You know, and that's where you see those one-inch cracks. And So a lot of times it's just because we just didn't do our prep. And what scares me sometimes is when people say, well, the ground is pulling away from the foundation, and now that wall's lost its support. Well, if that wall needed the soil to hold it in place, you've got a lot more problems than just a couple of cracks. That foundation wall should not be relying on the soil around it to hold it in place, because that soil goes through those seasonal expansion and contraction. So I think a better way to put it is the soil underneath the footing. The footing is what holds the foundation wall up. That is the part of the soil that should not be expanding and contracting, because that's where we're starting to see that movement.
So now that people are completely terrified, what can we look for if we haven't seen some of these dramatic signs of cracks in walls and nails popping out?
Yeah.
What can we look for to make sure that this isn't happening at our home?
You know, I wouldn't get all, you know, ramped up about it. And, you know, the house is going to go through it. You can't help it. I mean, there's really not much to prevent it. You know, in some parts of the country, they recommend running a soaker hose around the outside of the foundation to, you know, to ingest some water down into that foundation and soak it up. If you're nervous about it, then just start looking, you know, at if you do have some cracks in your foundation or in your floor, start to document them, you know, so that you know they're there. And because otherwise you're going to come in 3 weeks and say, oh, I don't remember those. And then you think they just happened when they're there all along. Start to document, you know, get your digital camera out or even your phone and take pictures of what you see and document it, and then come back later. And a feeler gauge that is what they usually use for, like, setting spark plug gaps and things. You can get them at really any hardware store. And start maybe, you know, checking and see how many thousandths of an inch the cracks are, and just document these things. And it'll give you some peace of mind knowing that, hey, it's really not moving. And sometimes what you'll see is they get a little bit bigger and then they come back. They get a little, well, that the soil underneath you may be just flexing back and
that's
forth.
That's normal.
That's normal.
And the house should have been made to endure that kind of thing.
Yeah,
change.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I used to lay block foundations. I loved it because it's kind of like you know, just some mental exercise. Oh, you just one block, the next block, and it's so easy to do. But they're not a strong foundation going laterally side to side. So when we get soils that expand and contract, it doesn't take much to take a block foundation and cause cracks. Now, the load's coming down from your house, so sometimes you may see cracks, and it isn't such a big deal. But what we do have to watch out for, though, is – luckily, in the interview, the one that I read, is they had some very good companies that they interviewed. And, you know, they're going down to bedrock. They're going down to something solid. So now your house basically is sitting on solid rock. And that's the right way to do it, because I know there's been some companies in the past that they'll say, well, we're going to go down 10 or 15 feet. Well, if you don't do a soil test, how do you know what soil is really there? And you may be putting your weight of the house on something that's even – spongier or carries less load than what you had before. So, you know, that was an excellent article.
Well, let's talk about some of the other problems that the drought could be causing for our homes.
Okay.
Let's see how many people we can really scare today, Bill. I know that's your...
Well, one thing that I notice when you're driving around, you know, you see a lot of new houses going up, and, you know, the economy's picking up, at least here in Iowa. It seems like all the builders are busy. You see a lot of brick being laid up. Now, the trick to laying up brick correctly is that brick can't absorb the moisture out of the mortar, that goes in between the bricks. If it absorbs the water of that mortar very fast because the brick is dry, then that's a very weak bond, and it tends to leak a lot more than normal. It isn't near as strong. And masons don't really, you know, I don't like working with a wet brick, because if you get it too wet, then, you know, the mortar gets too sloppy, and there's a lot of downsides to it too. But we've got to make sure the Masonry Institute recommends that those brick are wet and not just kind of damp, but so that they do not absorb the moisture out of the mortar. So that's kind of scary to see when buildings are being built in this, you know, this time. And the other thing is, the woods that we're using, if we don't get them, you know, painted or sealed, and that sun hits them, and then it gets drier and drier and drier. And a lot of times then the paints that you put on, what happens is the solvents that are in the paint, they evaporate so fast, so then that doesn't stick as well. And, you know, if we leave a piece of wood out in the sun before we paint it, an engineer at the Forest Products Laboratory, Madison, Wisconsin, told me one time. He said, you know, if you're going to work with cedar or redwood, you leave it out in the direct sunlight for a day, you've got to resand it the next day before you apply anything to it, because the UV's broken down that surface wood fiber.
So for people doing new construction, this dry period is something that it creates different hurdles for them to overcome.
You know,
how about let's say the siding on our houses that's already there? Are there other problems that can be caused?
Yeah, because the wood dries down and then shrinks a little bit more again, and then if you had maybe some caulking that didn't adhere very well, and almost all the time when you do it with old materials, you don't clean the material that you're putting the caulk to enough, and so that the caulking starts to fall out, and then it becomes very solid. Sometimes you'll see it falling out of a joint, even this time, this type of weather. The caulking's coming out between two joints on siding or around a window because it's lost its adhesion. Well, if it's lost its adhesion, now when we get some rain like you guys had Saturday, and it gets in that crack, and then all of a sudden, you know, we have some issues with water getting behind, you know, the wood, because it's neat. It expands, but yet it contracts. It's strange how when it dries, like wood fibers will open up, but yet the whole board shrinks. So you would think it'd only be one way. But the fibers just crack open, and then yet the wood will expand because it's heating, you know, just like you see pictures of railroad tracks curving. And then that kind of goes to the concrete. You know, we see our sidewalks. We see our driveways. The reason that they have those cracks in cuts, and then a lot of times you'll see kind of a black fibrous membrane, that's an expansion joint. And that word is – I think we forget that word even exists. We just think it's a control joint. But when that concrete starts to expand from the heat, it has to have some flex.
Well, this is something we tend to worry more about during the winter months. But
yeah,
with this kind of heat.
Right. And when that slab heats up, it starts to expand, and it has to go somewhere. And so sometimes that will, if it's up, if you got concrete against a foundation wall, it'll push the foundation wall in. But then you start seeing joints where maybe a sidewalk and a driveway are together. And then you'll see the top part of the concrete just shatter because it can't expand any farther. And so the weaker one breaks.
Well, you're a ray of sunshine.
Yeah, that's
today,
my
Bill.
Job. Yeah, it's Monday.
All right. Well, you are welcome to join us with your questions at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Have you seen any damage from the drought? Let us know. 866-780-9100. Again, tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our guest today is home improvement expert Bill McAnally. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. My guest today is Bill McAnally, our home improvement expert, and you are welcome to join the conversation with any questions you have about a home improvement project or a problem around the house. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Yeah, we've been talking about weather-related problems. You don't have to have a weather-related problem to call. But let's start with Paul in Muscatine. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a house that's approaching 50 years old, and we've lived in it for almost 30 years. And there was a small crack in the garage, on the garage floor, when we moved in. It's now a gaping crack that's 2 to 3 inches wide in some places.
Oh.
The driveway itself seems to have dropped a good 2 to 3 inches from the garage floor, and there's an exposed foundation. Instead of facing out, the garage doesn't face out. You approach it from the side of the house, and the entire backside of the house is an exposed foundation.
Okay,
including the garage. Now the garage, while it's attached, the foundation is separate. In other words, it was laid separately. And what's happened, the foundation wall is now bowing out, at the top, which is at meeting the garage floor level, probably a good 8 inches.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Who should I contact, and what am I looking at?
Well, if it's bowing that much, I would get a hold of someone that does foundation stabilization, type of anchored wall. That's a brand name I know, but that type of a company. Because you've got something pretty serious going on there. Does that driveway then come up during the winter and meet the garage floor for height?
Is it? Ooh, that's a. I don't really know. It has been a very gradual thing. As I say, we've lived in the house for 29 years, and I only started really noticing it, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, if it was just the floor in the garage, sometimes you can have those, to have a mud jacking company come in or just, re-pour a section of the floor, because over that period of time, it depends on the drainage system you have. If it's a real fine soil, sometimes, that settles out because of water running underneath and it takes the support out. But if you're getting a serious, 8 inches is quite a, is a pretty good bow. Yeah, I would get somebody in there right away to take a look at it. And if you're nervous at all about, after you get some bids or some assessments, you can also get a hold of a structural engineer. You could be at that phase right there to get a very good structural engineer in there to take a look and give you some recommendations, because you've got a lot of different things working. You can tell because you've got the foundation wall, you've got the floor, and then you've got the driveway. So there's something, pretty serious going around there with the settlement.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I hope that doesn't cost you a whole lot. But I would get it taken a look at, as soon as possible, because let's say we get into a real wet period now. Things that have moved, you could get a real heavy load of settled soil that, because it's dropped, now that it's dry, and then you get extra pressure.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, good luck with that.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for the bad news.
Yeah, don't sound so excited.
Right. Sounds like time for another home equity loan.
There we go.
Thanks a lot for your call, Paul.
Thank you.
Next up, we've got Charlie on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
Hi.
The timing on this is just perfect. I have my back door in my house has dropped. It's gone out of square by about 3/4 of an inch over the last month. Now, I know this house has been built. It's got additions everywhere on it, and this part of the house was the last addition. A few years back, I know there's no footing underneath it because it had dropped slightly. We had a big concrete slab taken out and a new one poured behind the house. At that point, I actually lifted the house up a little bit, and I could see that this little addition of the house was built on top of this old existing slab.
Okay.
And right now it's real pronounced. All of a sudden, we can't close the door anymore. I was just getting ready. I talked to a guy who is going to come out, cut out some of the concrete. And we were planning on digging down, 4 foot or so, putting a little footing down there and put something in to kind of support that corner of the house.
Okay. The only scary part there is when you dig down, is there anything holding that part of the house from coming down while you're digging, or?
Sort of. I mean, there's a big rim joist that kind of holds, that runs along that side of the house, and it's this little diagonal piece. It's not a real big piece of the house, really. It's the addition is probably 8 foot by 12 foot, and it's still sitting on some of the old slab. We took all the old slab out that we could, but in fact, the slab is about 2 or 3 layers deep before this happened. So
it sounds like a whole buildup of poor building methods to get to where we're at right now.
Yeah, the final addition was not done right. We bought this house a few years back and been finding all this. We've had wall anchors put in because leaning walls and the soil around here. It's I think we have a lot of sinkhole type things going on. So.
Oh, okay. Well, If your contractor's comfortable with working around those type of soils, because it sounds like you're going to have some pretty substantial bracing in place while you're putting those footings in. And I don't know, you know, it's hard to tell how much loads are here, but if that soil isn't original soil, when you dig down, you know that you could tell it's either backfill. You're going to have to keep going down until you hit solid soil.
Okay.
Which in some cases, you know, it depends on how many times they've dug this thing up. You know, I don't know. There could possibly even been another foundation under there at one time. So you're going to have to make sure that you're down to virgin soil again before you start rebuilding on top of it. But boy, yeah, I'd really be careful about the loads.
Yeah, we would. Before I just had a little carjack, and I lifted the house up about 3/4 of an inch with half a ton of load. It's not a real heavy thing. So I think this is virgin soil. I have all the drawings of the house from the time it was originally built, but we have part of it built on a slab, and there's close to this area. Some of those floors have dropped, 2 inches in the last. Since the 60s sometime.
Yeah.
But this foundation would not be, it's not going to be tied to any other foundation in any way whatsoever. It'll just be sitting on soil. But
you may want to be able to find a way that you can tie it. Maybe pour another section of wall concrete to tie into the old foundation. You may have to go down to the other footing if you can get to it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck, Charlie. Thanks a lot for your call. And next up, Kevin is on the line from Ames. Hi, Kevin. Whoa. Sorry about that.
Compared to some of the calls you've been getting, this is nothing, but it might help other people out with similar things. The house involved is a split level, and my wife's this timing is incredible. My wife yelled at me an hour ago, and because there's a very weird crack that has opened up. Now, where this is, it's on the level that's half underground, and it's in the corner, outside corner of the house, on the ceiling. The outside wall has apparently moved out less than 1/8 of an inch, and what I'm seeing is the tape on the corner between the wall and the ceiling, I got on speaker, I'll turn that off. There's a crack on the on one side of the corner. There's a little crack between the tape. You know, the tape has got a crack on the edge of it.
Okay.
And then on the perpendicular wall, it has pulled the tape so that there's a very funny crack between the tape and the rest of the ceiling. Because the paint's still kind of attached, so it looks like this humongous problem where the tape has fallen down and we've got this, I don't know, what word would you describe that? Paint's still connecting, but because the tape has slid a tiny bit, it looks like a huge crack.
Sure.
On the outside, the foundation, the block foundation, is exposed 4 feet or so, and that looks fine. There are no visible cracks in that.
Okay.
The dirt around it has pulled back slightly, the way it probably does every time that it's not very wet.
Sure.
And part of the problem here is under the overhang, we have not gotten any rain. The grass has just dried there, so I haven't even tried to grow it, not just during this dry drought, but for the last year or so. And that's partly because of a big tree nearby. So I'm wondering, my wife wanted to fix it right away, and I'm saying, no, we wait until it stops moving. And by the way, there are other places in this house that have moved way more than that, considering the fact that we have them re-drywalled every couple of years. The cracks are patched.
Okay.
And that's involved with the juncture between the two levels of the house.
All right. Well.
So my questions are two. Should we put some moisture down? Should we water around the foundation to help that dirt expand? The house is, by the way, almost 60 years old. This room that I'm talking about had a drywalled ceiling, but it was about 30 years ago that the walls were drywalled.
Okay. Well, I would maybe try that. It just, maybe the footing is actually tilting a little bit, so the walls kind of tilting out.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tell. Maybe the foundation wall wasn't centered over the top of the footing. Maybe were the tile back that time, the clay tile. Maybe there was some erosion and the footing starting to tilt. You know, I would try what some of the southern states are. I've never done this, but after reading some of the articles, getting ready for today, is you know, some will take a soaker hose and gently soak the soil so it's, you don't waste a lot, you know, evaporation. And they tend to do that, like I say, in Arkansas, Texas, where it kind of takes the foundations and does the same thing. I'd try that and then keep track of those cracks and see if anything does change.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, just document everything. And you're going to have to retape it and everything. Why don't you just go ahead and take a utility knife and cut that tape and everything out of there now?
Yeah.
And then you can start measuring things.
Yeah.
And this way you won't get yelled at. That way you can go ahead and get working on it.
Yeah. Well, it's right over an area where guests, little kids might sleep. And my wife says they wouldn't want to sleep in there. They'd be afraid the ceiling will fall. So she said, yeah, we might scrape that off and paint it right now.
And
then wait and see what happens.
Sure, you can do that too. You bet.
So I was thinking about just putting a slow-running hose there.
Yeah. Well, I'd use a soaker.
Okay.
Yeah, that way it spreads it out even.
Yeah. And, of course, you don't want to put too much moisture in there.
No.
And, like, fill the crack between the house.
Oh, no. No, don't do that. No.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Kevin, thanks a lot for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Next up, we've got Jeanette on the line in Rock Island. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question that's related, but it's not related to the heat. I have a house that's about 60 years old. Next to the basement, my husband, about 20 years ago, had a concrete walk put in. It butts up right against the house. And I think there's so much wrong with it that I'm going to have it replaced. My question is, in having it replaced, because it's up against the basement wall, is there any damage that could occur to the house? That is, if what kinds of tools should be used? I'm not going to do it, obviously.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But what should I put any limits on what's being done?
Well, I wouldn't. You know, it's hard to you know visualize a lot, but you would want to make sure they use small equipment in that particular case. Don't bring in huge backhoes that are like 2 or 3 feet away from your house so they can rip it out fast. In some cases, they'll bring in small, they call them a track hoe. It's like a bobcat with a backhoe attachment on it. And they can gently pull those pieces out with so that they don't pinch against the foundation or push it in or damage it. And in a lot of cases, some contractors will actually do that by hand. They may cut out 2 feet and then break out smaller sections because we don't know how much it's settled there either right next to the foundation. And I wouldn't put concrete all the way up against that again if you do replace it. You're not planning on having it all the way against the foundation again, are you?
I have no idea what I should do with it.
Oh, okay.
In the wintertime, the walk slants right up to the front door.
Okay.
And it slants down so that I have a wading pool there or an ice skating rink.
Sure.
And they put a sort of drain in the center. So it butts up against the house, and it's about 10 feet across, and then the garage is over on one side. So it's a small area to work in to begin with.
Okay, yeah, if they can somehow creatively make it so that the water sheds, you know, away from the house, put some decent slope against, you know, shedding the water away. But like you said, it's always a bad situation to have that concrete right up against a residential foundation. Commercial, they do it all the time.
Uh-huh.
But if it's concrete block or something like that, you can get a lot of damage there when they're up tight.
All right.
So just try to, if there's any way they can shed that water away, especially to eliminate that pool.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, just make sure they keep the heavy equipment away. You know, it gets very touchy. It's easy to just grab one of those little pieces of concrete with a big machine and just twist it a little bit, and it'll just bust a concrete block right out.
Jeanette, thanks a lot for your call. And here's an email question from Joel. We'll at least get started before the break. My window wells for basement egress windows are made from treated timbers, 6x6, I think. Mm-hmm. Yep. The window well dimensions are approximately 5 feet by 3.5 feet by 4.5 feet deep. The timbers are badly rotted and need to be replaced. What should I take into consideration when deciding how to fix the problem? I'm thinking poured concrete would be the longest lasting replacement. What choices are available? Our yard is in a very wet spot, and when it rains, our sump pump is always running.
I actually like the galvanized window wells. You can set those. They attach right to the foundation. There's no maintenance to it, and they're a straight vertical, so you don't have to worry about maybe the little lips on treated lumber, because sometimes they step them back a little bit, and then you can get a ladder attachment put in, and they'll make a, you can buy them at any depth, so hard to say what depth he has, but that's the ones that I like, because there's no maintenance, you have the ladder to get out, and they look clean.
All right. You're welcome to join the conversation with your questions at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our home improvement expert Bill McAnally is here today, and we have a few lines open right now for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today, and he's here to answer your questions. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Next up is Corrine from Radcliffe. Hi, Corrine.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
I have a little different problem. My house is 7 years old. And a neighbor lady called to say that she had a radon problem and wondered if I'd ever had mine tested. I hadn't, so I agreed to do it. And it came back very high, 9.8, I think.
Okay.
And it should be below 4. So now I'm wondering how to proceed. Should I test it again to be sure that was in the ballpark figure, or... And what do I do about it, and how expensive is it going to be?
Well, did you test it in the basement?
Yes.
And do you have a living space in the basement?
It's not finished, but I have beds down there, yes. My family, some of them have to sleep there when they come home.
Okay. Well, you know, did you do the long, like the 30-day, or did you do that little quick test?
No, it wasn't that long. Well, let's see. How many days? I forgot.
Like a 7-day or something?
Yeah, it was more like that, yes.
Well, why don't I always test. You should test again. Get the longest test. And did you test during the winter or the summer?
It was this summer.
Okay.
Has been recently, not too long ago. Within the last month.
Okay, well, 9.8 is high, but it's not super high. I mean... Because Canada, the four, you know, our level is 4 picocuries per liter is what the EPA says is our limit in the United States, but Canada's is higher. I would test again, get the longer test, and
I don't know where to go to get that. I got this one at Lowe's, and this is all they had. It's just this one test.
Well, check a couple of the other stores, the other big box stores, and.
Okay.
And if not, just go ahead and use the same test again. But, you know, check the numbers. But then if you're concerned about it, I would get a hold of a radon mitigation company. There's quite a few of them in the state of Iowa.
The only two in my Yellow Pages is one is in Urbandale, which is a long way from me. And the other one doesn't say what town it is. I tried to call, but they weren't available right then. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'd keep trying, because there are more. Do you have access to Google where you can?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just radon mitigation, and just hit Iowa, and you should get a list of people. The ones that I've worked with in the past, you know, it's usually not that expensive. Some of them are $1,500, some up to $2,000. It just depends on what it is, but a lot of people, to be honest with you, you know, in that level, 9.8, if it comes in a little bit lower, you know, occasional, you know, if you're not down there all the time, a lot of people, you know, maybe not do anything. But that's up to you.
What does the mitigation company do, and do they guarantee their results?
Well, it's pretty hard to goof it up, really, because they're professional. You ask, you know, you want to make sure they're bonded and licensed and you know, they've done the training. But all they do is they'll stick a pipe down through the floor in your basement, like a 3-inch plastic pipe. It goes through the floor into the soil below, and then they attach a fan to that pipe. So what it does is it's constantly causes a depressurization or a suction underneath the slab to pull the gas out from underneath the slab and from around the face, the basement, and then it goes out through the roof. So that's what they do, is they'll just be running from the basement floor out through your roof. Now, there is another nice thing that does happen. A lot of times if your basement's a little bit damp, they've seen that when you run these fans, that it actually helps dry the basements down, because it pulls water vapor out from underneath your floor and the foundation walls as well. But you can get more than one estimate and ask for references.
Yeah, I do run a dehumidifier all the time.
Okay, well, you know, this may help as well.
All right, Corrine, thank you so much for calling.
Well, thank you.
Best of luck with that. And let's get back to an email question. This is from John in Rock Island, Illinois. He says, I have some large cracks in my basement block wall that are approximately a half inch. I'm not sure if this is caused by drought or water pressure. I have some leakage every rain event. What remedies can I do as a homeowner to stabilize the wall?
Well, a block wall with half-inch cracks is pretty severe. There's something going on, whether it's expansion from around the foundation. I don't know if the wall's bowing in and causing, say, a half-inch crack at the horizontal line up six block or so, or if it's stair-stepped. You know, it's hard to tell from the email. But as a homeowner, there's some things you can do, but, you know, they're not guaranteed. You're going to have to disclose these if you decide to ever sell. But what some homeowners do sometimes is they will take, a 4-inch H-beams or I-beams, steel beams, and they will anchor them into the floor and into the floor system, and they're pushed up against the foundation wall. And all that does, though, is just holds it, hopefully, and hopefully is the key, so it doesn't move anymore. But there again, you know, as a homeowner, you're taking some chances there, because you don't know how much pressure's out there. You don't know when it occurs. And even though you've got that tied to the floor on the bottom and the top, there's instances where you will get enough pressure. Well, that will push, and it will still blow the basement. And if it's a bit attached to the floor,
so
you can have something really catastrophic.
Call a professional.
Yeah. When it's a half inch, that's a big gap. And so that's scary when it's a half inch, because you don't know what's causing it. And if it's water, you get rid of the, you know, what's causing it. You know, maybe it's just you never know. It could be just a downspout. But you'd better have somebody come over there, again, an engineer or a foundation specialist, and look at that, because that half inch it can be really scary.
All right. Tom is on the line next from Davenport. Hi, Tom. Tom,
Hi.
Are you there?
Hi.
I am. Thank you both for taking my call. I have a kind of untimely question in this drought that it has to do with installing sump pumps.
It's probably a good time to do it.
Yeah, might as well, yeah.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. I recently moved back into my childhood home to help care for my aging mother, and the home was built in 1949, and as I recall throughout my life, it's always leaked. Well, you know, the old cinder block type of construction.
Yeah.
And over the years, a number of different things have been done, including putting concrete slabs all around the foundation, all of which have now separated from the foundation by at least a couple of inches or more. When we have very wet weather, like a couple of years ago, you know, when it rained all year long, I mean, her basement just has, you know, running streams of water. In a summer like this, it's pretty dry. with a dehumidifier down there, but even the other day we had a big thunderstorm come through, and sure enough, we had running water down in the basement.
Wow.
Well, so I'm wondering if, now this is a 1940s two-story, three-bedroom, typical size house, and I'm wondering if putting one or two sump pumps, you know, breaking down with a jackhammer through the concrete and putting a sump pump or two in there is more likely to actually relieve the problem, even though there would not be feeder lines under the foundation, you know, to carry the water over to the sump pit.
Sure. Sure. That, you know, excuse me, that would probably be a good solution for right now. You know, do it in the corners if you can possibly get to the corners.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it depends on what kind of soil's underneath. You know, you may be, you know, it's kind of maybe, I guess, good or bad, however you look at it. Maybe it's very sand, you know, a lot of sand and gravel sitting right on top of clay, and the water comes from everywhere else and goes rifling right through your basement. But if it's, you know, maybe it is gravel or sand around there, you should be able to capture a lot of that water. So, you know, the amount of water you're talking about, there's probably a lot of water pressure, too. You may want to go with, you know, an upgraded sump pump, at least on maybe the area where you think there may be more water. You know, go to one that maybe pumps 10,000 gallons an hour. I mean, you want something that's pretty good size, mm-hmm. not just these little dinky, you know, that'll clean out maybe
a Dixie cup.
But go with, you know, go with the bigger ones. And, you know, do you lose power a lot where you're at? Are you in town?
Yeah, it is in the west end of Davenport. I don't think we lose power any more than most people.
Okay, because
when branches go down and knock the lines down or something.
Okay, because I know some people, instead of putting backup, you know, battery powered ones, now they're attaching ones that attach to the water lines, so that the water pressure coming from the city actually operates the pump.
Yes, I read about that.
Yeah, and you know, they've been having really good luck with those. But yeah, I would do the two sump pumps. My brother had a problem at one time, and it was really funny. We just stuck that out in the middle of nowhere, another pit, and my gosh, I couldn't believe how much water was coming in. There wasn't any tile to it or anything, but it was, you know, just rambling, and that took care of his problem completely. It's just that originally when they built the house, I don't know if they didn't have the tile in the right place, but now it's nice and bone dry all the time.
All right, Tom, thanks a lot for your call, and let's go next to Irene on the line in Fairfield. Hi, Irene.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. I have a question about whether the way our house was built would actually be, you know, a good thing with the drought. It was the foundation was four pours of concrete, so there's four slabs. And they're independent of the perimeter foundation, which is insulated concrete forms on an 8x20-inch footer.
Okay.
Set at 36-inch depth. And there's an expansion joint that runs linear from the front to the back of the house. And I just wondered, the lady that called about the radon, I'm not calling about that, but we did actually have a pretty high radon reading because of the way this foundation was built and some other issues with it, which I won't go into, but we got that mitigated and taken care of. But I was wondering if this would actually be a favorable thing in light of the drought.
It really depends on what kind of soil you have underneath you. ICF foundations are very strong, and it sounds like you went with a little bit wider foundation than normal, which is good, and maybe that was because of the soils that you had. You know, it kind of widened the load pattern out a little bit more. It could be, you know, better. It's not worse, that's for sure.
Right.
But like on the radon, that's something that, you know, you can't control whatever lot you have. The radon level at one lot could, you know, you could have 9. The next door neighbor could have 50. You know, you really don't, you can't pre-test for radon or anything like that, but using an ICF foundation, and if they put gravel underneath the slab, you know, that kind of made it easier, I suppose, when you did get a mitigation that it actually performs better as well.
All right. Irene, does that answer your question?
I had one other quick question.
Okay, very quickly.
We have a screen porch that we added on that has a separate pour of concrete, and it has pulled away and down from the house. And I just wondered, since moisture when it rains, moisture can't go there because, you know, there's a porch floor and everything. Will that move back when it rains or
no,
likely not?
Probably not. The only way it would ever move back up is if frost got underneath there and lifted it.
All right, Irene, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, we've got Max on the line in Windsor Heights. Hi, Max.
Hi, Charity. Yes, I have a small house that was built in the 50s that had a wet basement. It wouldn't get any more wet when it rained, but it always had, you know, maybe a half an inch of water down there. So I had a guy excavate all around the inside of the basement walls, dug down there through the cement and put in drainage tiles and a new sump pump, but it still is damp down there. I don't know if, and the thing about it is, some of the basement companies I talked to said that they could excavate just on the inside, not the outside, and that it would stay dry down there, but it didn't seem to work for us.
Well, a lot of times, you know, what's happening is you're getting capillary action sometimes with the footing maybe sitting in. If the footing, if the footing is sitting in damp soil or wet soil, moisture goes right up that footing and into the foundation wall. Like if you were to set a paper towel into water, how it sucks that water up. The concrete does, it's just basically a really hard paper towel is what it is, and it just pulls that water up. So you'll always have dampness, even if they, put the tile in and they're pumping it all away. You still may have enough moisture to cause your basement to be damp strictly from that.
Okay.
It's just kind of like when you're in a basement, sometimes you'll look where the floor and the wall meet, and it may be damp up like 4 inches on the foundation wall. That's not a wet basement. That's just the moisture from what the footing is sitting in, and the moisture comes up, and then it evaporates off.
Oh, okay. So when they guarantee that, they aren't guaranteeing that it's going to be completely, totally dry.
I don't know how you ever could, because unless they were to put the whole new foundation in and put gravel underneath the footing. You know, I'm not trying to bail them out or anything, but, you know, if they're getting the water away from coming into the house, they can't really stop that moisture from coming through the footing and into the walls.
See, I was told the water table is like 4 feet higher than the bottom of the basement wall.
Yeah, sometimes even the water table, the actual water table can be below the footing, but if there's enough moisture still left in the soil, it can still pull up into that concrete and evaporate off into the basement.
Yeah.
It's really tricky.
So probably just running a dehumidifier all the time would be the thing to do then.
You may have to, but you know, I would do some research on the radon mitigation systems as getting rid of excess moisture as well. You know, from your basements,
They're
cheaper to run than a dehumidifier.
That is a great idea. You know, I think I'll try that.
Yeah, you know, do some research on it, see what you find out.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
You bet. Thanks,
right, Max. Thanks a lot for your call. And unfortunately, we're out of time for other calls, but Bill McAnally will be back next month to answer your questions.
Sure.
If he agrees.
Yeah. And since Mom and my daughter and people are listening, I have to say hi to them, because otherwise, I'll get yelled at kind of like that one fella did.
Right.
Oh, well, I hope my wife's listening too, because I don't want to get yelled at when I get home.
Bill McAnally, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, stops by once a month to answer your questions about your home improvement issues and projects that you're working on. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese and Emily Woodbury. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. We had production assistance today from Allison Sullivan. You can podcast Talk of Iowa. Go to our website, iowapublicradio.org. You can stream it or download it. You can also send us email anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by the River Monks. I'm Charity Nebbe. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.